in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at RonandDon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 694 now of the Ron and Don Show, and we are live in the Les Schwab studio.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, let's talk about Jason Kelce and the fact that he has now retired from the NFL. Will he make more money on his podcast than he did in the National Football League? And also, speaking of the National Football League, guess who's being lined up to do next year's Super Bowl? Yeah, we'll get to that. Also, your brain. What does your brain do when you don't have your headphones in? What does your brain do when you allow yourself to do nothing? New research on that. I think it might surprise you. Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Ron just walked in, and I would like to say he's as tan as ever. but both he and I certainly have white man disease. And in fact, you just got back from a destination wedding. Congratulations to your niece. Where'd you go and how was it?
Yeah, my niece got married in Cancun, Mexico, at the Yucatan Peninsula on this resort. And so it was interesting. This was my first destination wedding. Like, I've read about them, I've heard about them. I guess you could count my other niece got married in Florida, but she lived there. So for her, like, that, it was a destination for me, but like, that's where they live.
It's called getting married in Florida.
Right. It's like, it's, you know, she lives in Florida, got married in there. So the first time I've gone international somewhere, you see these all the time on people's Facebook feeds or Instagram, going to the destination wedding. And so it was at this all-inclusive resort down in Mexico. And the wedding was great. I'm super happy for Sammy. She used to live up here when she was in the Air Force at JBLM, and you've met her multiple times. She came by the station when we were on the radio. Big fan of Rachel Bell, so she was like excited to get her picture taken with Rachel. And so the part about it to me that was interesting is I have always looked down my nose at the all-inclusive resort people. And you and I have talked about this a lot over the years. And so I've always been very judgy of that. And kind of like, what's the point? Like, why would you do that? And I'd never done it, but from the outside looking in, I was always very judgy and condescending and kind of know-it-all-ish in the way that I am sometimes. And so having done it, I think I get it now. I understand who this is for. And as I hopefully have grown and matured over the years, I picked up something from Rick Rubin in reading his book, where he basically just says, that's not for me. And so he doesn't judge something. Someone will play something for him or tell him about something, and he'll just go, that's not for me.
That's awesome.
And so what I've realized is this is not for me, these all-inclusives, but it is for a lot of people. And I'll give you a great example with my sister. So my sister is not traveled extensively. She's very happy to, you know, she spends part of the year in Tennessee, part of the year down in Florida, extremely satisfied to do that sort of thing. And so she sent me, before the trip, she sent me this link to the United States State Department that had some warnings and some cautions about Americans traveling to Mexico, and specifically to this region of Mexico. And so my initial reaction is to go, come on, like, come on, but to her, that's a real thing. And it's from the U.S. State Department. And so, and they give some warnings about, hey, pay attention. And there are drug cartels down here, and there is violence, and you could get mugged. And so they list some of the cautions. And I get that from the U.S. State Department. Those things are not untrue. And so in her mind, she has a sense of, hey, if the State Department says this, I need to be cautious and I need to be, you know, leery of these things. And I'm going to stay at this all-inclusive and I like the security and feel like I'm on the beach in a foreign country. And I'm still sort of in a bit of a safety bubble. It's not 100%, but more so than if I just wandered around Mexico. You know, my counterpoint to that was like, hey, look at like what Australia says about the United States. You know, if an Australian or a New Zealander or a European travels to the U.S., their State Department say, hey, U.S. is known for gun violence. Look out. Like they have cautions against and people in the U.S. We go, ah, whatever. So anyways, I tried to open my mind to that and go, you know what? That's I'm wrong about that.
We're also known for $120 Uber Eats delivery service.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
So and believe me, Cancun is not inexpensive. So I sort of stand corrected on that. If you're a person and you don't have a tremendous amount of international travel experience, and you do, and a lot of the people at this resort were sort of from the Midwest, you know, Chicago, Kansas, Oklahoma, you know, Iowa, like those kind of states. And if it's, you know, 0 degrees in North Dakota, and you can go to a beach where it's 85 degrees and you're got a bar that you can swim up to at this pool in the middle of the day, that's pretty cool. And so maybe they don't need to go see the pyramids or discover the, you know, Aztec culture or go to a cenote or whatever. That's what I learned is like, that's my style of travel. And so I'm going to try to not necessarily look down so much on those folks. And for them, if they did go to Chichen Itza, maybe they wouldn't care. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're not into history or you're not into, you know, world cultures, or it's not a big deal to you that this civilization, you know, a couple thousand years ago built these amazing pyramids, then that's a waste of time for them. Like they would rather be at the pool hanging with their friends, playing volleyball, listening to music, like if in doing it on a beach. And so I'm trying to let that go and be like, okay, it's not the way I like to travel, but it's not for me. Like that thing is, and I get it now. I understand it. The restaurants were great. It was fun to just hook up with friends and family, and you could walk into any restaurant and have a meal. That part of it was great. The wedding was great. Meeting everybody was fantastic. And so as a traveler, though, it reminded me that travel the way that you want to travel.
Were your mom and dad there?
Mom and dad couldn't make it. No, yeah. My dad's not really able to fly internationally anymore.
Yeah.
We FaceTimed live during the ceremony, though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so that was fun for them.
Yeah, that is cool. How was the wedding itself? And then when you do a destination wedding, is that where the honeymoon is, or then do you get on a plane and go somewhere
else? No, they're
going
to do a separate honeymoon.
How did you do?
They are.
Wow.
So this was the wedding itself was cool. So they had this pool that's right up against the beach. So the beach is in the background, and then there's steps from the resort down to the beach, and then they put like this glass topped stage over the pool. So they were literally standing on the water, if you will, but like a foot above the water of the pool, but it kind of looks like you're floating above the water. And so the officiant was the bride's brother, and he was very funny and nervous, and
that's awesome.
He did a great job, and
cool.
It was very kind of irreverent, but in a cheeky way. Yeah. Like it was not religious at all. Yeah. So a lot of quips and jokes and interesting moments there. I got to tell you though, from my vantage point, the thing I cracked up the most about is there was this dude in my line of sight, right behind the wedding, the big flower arrangement, and they're standing there, right behind there. This dude comes out of the ocean in the smallest, tightest red Speedo, this middle-aged guy.
Why this service is going
on? Well, right in the middle of the vows.
That's perfect.
And so he's sort of walking. It's like he's just having beach time.
That's
like
what
he's at the all-inclusive.
Yeah.
So he's got his son. He's picking up his son, throwing him around.
That's great.
Just full-on Euro Speedo, bright red.
Yeah.
It doesn't, not a care in the world.
That's great.
And so that's my visual of them going back and forth. Relatively quick ceremony. Then they had this night or a rooftop sort of plaza dance floor thing. It was a great wedding. Like, it was a fantastic wedding. And meeting his family had seven brothers and sisters, so like all of them came. Like, it was relatively well attended.
Is she in her 30s now?
I believe she is early 30s.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you see that generation getting married later. We saw the millennials get married later. Do you know the oldest millennial now is 43?
The geriatric millennial.
Yeah, but what's interesting is a lot of millennials have stayed together, right? They got married later. They experienced more. They watched their parents go through a divorce. They watched the great loss and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. And think about this, because a lot of boomers got married very young. And when you get married young, who you are when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 is typically not who you are when you're 30, but kind of who you are when you're 30. It's kind of who you are when you're 40. And then, you know, people go through midlife sometimes, I guess. But I see more of a reassessment now than I do midlife. I think for a lot of people where you're set up for a midlife crisis is when you get a job. It may not even be a job that you like, but you do it for 30 or 40 years because that's what your parents did, and you have a pension. That pension down the road turns into a 401k. You kind of live, work, play, vacation in the same places. Maybe you get a passport, maybe you don't. And then as you get older, you look around and you're like, wow, especially when your kids leave and you're like, is this all there is? And I think the difference with this generation now is they move around a little bit more. They change jobs a little bit more. And they aren't afraid really to make mistakes. And I think by waiting a little longer, I think we'll probably see more successful marriages from this generation. So anyway, very cool. Congratulations to her. And I'm glad your brother, because that's his daughter, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I just got to say one thing that you would have loved.
I'm glad your brother, because I know this probably made him very nervous.
It's very nervous.
Rob, and I'm glad to see
you'll appreciate this, though.
That Rob made it through.
His ringtone on his phone for his daughter for 20 years has been Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Oh, that's great.
So every time his phone rings, Sweet Child of Mine comes on. For the father-daughter dance, they found this acoustic cover with a female singer of Sweet Child of Mine. And when it slowed down and you actually listened to the lyrics, there was not a dry eye in the house. A, he can't dance. But B, my brother cannot dance. Like them listening to that song through that lens was really, really great. You would have loved it.
I love that. Yeah. We'll see you on the other side. All right. So this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawks game and I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day, says, "Hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii. He owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii. He said, I'm never going home." So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, "Hey, I got to sell this house." I call Scotty. We go over the house. And this house has a foundation problem. It has a roof problem. It has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000. And then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, "Hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, "Hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends, because again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, "You know what? I'll pay $1,060,000 for that for that particular house." So, case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, "Wow, this thing has a bad foundation. this thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here. So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home, it has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. Because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. RonandDonSitDown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don, Don Show. Don't forget, it is spring. Spring has sprung. Real estate's on fire. It is on fire. In fact, we're going to talk about it more on our Real Estate Only show this Friday. You probably saw the cover of the Seattle Times a few days ago that said real estate in Seattle has gone up 14% year over year. It was predicted to go up 3%. So we'll tell you what is going on out there, buyers, sellers, investors. If you need us, let's just sit down virtually, and then we'll sit down in person. RonandDonSitDown.com if you need us. Everything, including our podcast info, our newsletter, RonandDon.com. So make sure you get signed up and check that out. Yeah. It's interesting, some new research, when we allow ourselves to be bored or we allow ourselves to not really do anything. And I am finding in my own life, it used to be that just naturally, when I was a kid, you'd sit around and get bored, and then you'd go build a ramp and jump your brother. But I don't see kids jumping, building ramps and jumping each other on my block anymore. Because typically now, and I'm probably one of those parents, we have our kids on a schedule, man, and they're doing so much stuff, which means we are doing so much stuff. And I think sometimes in doing stuff, we feel purpose in that. What's really interesting, though, is what happens either as a child or an adult, when we take our ear pods out, when we turn off the radio, when we're not listening to a podcast, when we turn off our screens, and we allow ourselves now to get a little bored and to think. We shared a story a few months ago. One of our best friends, Gary Vero, passed away. And I remember visiting Gary at a hospital. He had to have a hip replacement. He had passed away from cancer. And we were at the Northwest Hospital, and it was a winter evening. It was snowing outside. And I went up to see him, and I brought him some food, and we had this great chat. And then just he and I were sitting on the couch together, and I said, "Hey, do you need anything? Would you like to watch a movie, or do you want me to get someone on the phone, or would you like to talk to your wife?" He's like, "No, I don't really want to watch a movie. I've already talked to my wife. My kids live on the East Coast." He goes, "I just want to sit here with you and put my thinking cap on." And he always wore this cap. He even wore the cap indoors. So even if you saw him at church, people get mad at sometimes because they thought it was disrespectful to wear a hat indoors, even when he played his piano at church. And a lot of times as men get older, they'll wear a hat or a cap because they're balding. He had a full head of hair. He just liked wearing this hat, and he called it his thinking cap, and he had various thinking caps that he would always wear. And when he would allow himself to think, and I think a lot of this came from his bike racing across America, a lot of times this is when he would come up with really great, amazing ideas or thoughts. And I can remember from time to time, in fact, they played some of these. His daughter, I thought I was the only one that he ever called when he had a great idea. And sometimes he would call, you couldn't text him. And he said, "Hey, I'm going to call once in a while. Don't answer the phone. I've had my thinking cap on. I want to share something with you." And he would leave a message on my answering machine. And I still have those messages today. I listened to some the other day. Some of those messages that he left for his daughter were actually played at his celebration. And sometimes they were just messages that, "Hey, I was thinking about you. Or I wanted you to know that I loved you or cared about you." I think he left a lot of these messages because he knew at some point he wouldn't be with us. And he wanted to leave those messages behind because he knew he would probably pass at a young age. So after a 9.5-year cancer battle, he did. I thought of Chip Kelly the other day, who was the coach at UCLA. And I heard him speak about The fact that the Pac-10, the Pac-12, whatever you want to call it, is going away, and all these great rivalries are going away. And he thought, you know, this rivalry that UCLA has with you, that's all going away. And everything now when it comes to sport is TV driven. And he said, that's pretty sad. And then what he did is he laid out a plan about what the NCAA should do, what they should do with the NIL money, what they should do with these different rivalries and how to bring those back and who should sponsor what. It was really well thought out. And so I heard him on the Colin Cowherd show, who's a sports radio host, explaining all this to Colin. And Colin asked him, he said, you know, and in fact, Chip Kelly just left UCLA. He's going to be the offensive coordinator for Ohio State. And Colin asked him, he said, where did you come up with these great ideas? It's like the NCAA should pick up the phone and call you and hire you as a consultant, because these are really well thought out. He said, you know what? I get up really early in the morning before anybody in my family. He said, I get in my car. I have a pretty long drive to work. It's in the middle of the night. It's dark out. I have all this time to myself. And I just, when I drive, I think. I don't turn the radio on. I don't listen to a podcast. I drive my car and I think. And he said, that's where my whole life, when I'm out driving and I don't turn anything on, I just, it was Chip Kelly's version of putting his thinking cap on. And then I'll fast forward to my son and I. He's at an age now. I love history. He loves history. When we have dinner every night, we will pick a show, and maybe it's a series. And Ron and I have been talking. We've been watching Masters of the Air. And what we will do is we make dinner together. We usually go to the gym. We come home. We make dinner together. Then we sit one time a week. We'll sit at the table together and we'll kind of talk. Just he and I. We'll light a candle. And then other times we'll sit and we'll watch one of our shows. Right. So Masters of the Air. That's one of our shows about World War II. If you haven't seen it on Apple, it's worth getting Apple just to watch it, and then you can cancel after that. Here come the Red Tails, the Tuskegee Airmen, by the way, in episode number 8, which I can't wait for. So that's coming up this week, and we're looking forward to that. And what we used to do sometimes is I would leave the TV on or start watching the news or consuming other things on the screen, and what I noticed is then he would want to pick his screen up. What I've started doing now is I just, when we're done with the show, I turn the show off, we go and walk Charlie, and then that's it for screen time. And he knows that if I need to get on a screen, I tell him, hey, I got to do some work, or I got to do some Airbnb stuff, or Mr. Ron and I are looking at a real estate, whatever that. I explain to him if I'm going to be on a screen. Otherwise, I'm not on a screen. I'll jump on my Peloton. I'll do a little in-home workout. I'm doing some minimalist stuff right now, where I'm going through all my stuff and doing some Swedish cleaning and all that. And you know what it's turned into? It's turned into almost every night now, I watch him come up the stairs. He goes into his room. He plugs in his guitar and he starts playing. And I have noticed, especially over probably the last 6 weeks, I picked up my guitar and I went in to play with him the other night. And he was teaching me. Some AC/DC, and he's starting to get really good. And I asked him the other night. I said, "How did you?" I said, "I grew up just playing chords." I said, "It's pretty impressive that you can play the notes." And my grandfather always said, "Hey, you know, it's one thing to play chords. Anyone can play chords. My grandfather played the fiddle, but it's really all about playing the melody and playing the notes." And my son looked at me. He goes, "You know." He still calls me daddy in private moments. He goes, "Daddy," he goes, "why be guitar number 2, which usually is the rhythm guitar, when you can be guitar number 1? I'm like, that is so cool. So in those moments of boredom, he may not be jumping his brother, or I guess it would be Charlie, outside on a ramp, but he is finding other things to do. I noticed him now reading books, right? So he's reading Dave Groh's Storyteller, which I gave him that book a long time ago. If you haven't read that book, it's a really great book. Dave Groh from Nirvana and the Foo Fighters. and it's called Storyteller. So he's reading that book now at night. Then in the morning, we listen to the Storyteller podcast, which Dave Grohl narrates, or we listen to a real estate podcast, or we listen to a comedian that we really like. So we still incorporate screens and podcasts. When he comes home from school, he still gets some screen time. But we have found allowing our brains to wander a little bit, and I think, Ron, this is what this research supports. We may not be Chip Kelly driving to work to go coach football, but it does leave some room in there for you to ruminate sometimes and come up with some great ideas as well. So,
yeah, that was well said. I think my takeaway in that article is if you're constantly chasing those little micro dopamine hits, yep, which is what social media has been designed to do, is it's a facsimile of social connection, social media, but it's fool's gold. Like, it's not a real social connection. It's a representation of a social connection. And so the dopamine hit that I would get when you and I hang out in person, or when you know, I was coaching your son in Little League football and I saw him make a catch, like, that dopamine hit is a real one because I'm really there and he really did catch the ball and he really did score a touchdown. It's not a video game touchdown or a photo of someone scoring a touchdown. He actually, you know, I told him to play, he ran the play, caught the ball, scored a touchdown. That's a real dopamine hit. So the takeaway that I had from that article was if you are constantly, and I do this, you're constantly looking for that little micro dopamine of a photo, of a post, of just even randomly scrolling or doom scrolling the news or reaching for a device, your brain becomes numb to that, or what's the word? It's like an addiction word. I'm trying to think of it. It loses its effectiveness. You become immune. It's not immune, but you know what I'm saying? Resistant. Like, your brain develops a resistance to the dopamine in the same way that an alcoholic or a drug user gets a resistance to their substance of choice. And so they say this process of kind of letting your brain flush itself out, like use up all the dopamine and then just sit there in a equilibrium state is good. And then when you do get a genuine dopamine hit, it's meaningful. And the brain, that's the brain's way of telling you, do more of that. And so when it gets hijacked in these little insignificant ways, you're not doing yourself a favor because then, you know, you just crave it more and more and more. And I guess the easiest experiment for me on this is how quickly do you reach for your phone? So if you're in, let's say you're at the doctor's office, at a dentist office, and you know you got to wait 5 or 10 minutes, how quickly do you reach for your phone? And what do you do once you get there? It was interesting because I knew we were talking about this story and I was in the airport, waiting to board the plane. And I just looked around and virtually everyone from 90-year-olds to 9-year-olds, yeah, are all on their phones.
Everybody's on their phone. Yeah.
Just about everyone. Like, little kids aren't, but it was very rare to look around and just see what people were doing that were not on their phones.
Which means we're not talking to each other and building those real social connections.
Right. And yeah, so they're getting those little micro dopamine hits. And I was just like, okay, can I sit here? My plane's going to board in 20 minutes. Can I sit here for 20 minutes and not instinctually just grab for my phone while I'm waiting? Like, I'm in a foreign country in an airport. Surely there's got to be 20 minutes worth of observation to be had here. And so it was, it's hard though.
Yeah.
Because I have conditioned my brain, it craves, you know, when a minute goes by, it wants me, hey, reach for the phone. See what's happening on Don's Facebook. See what's going on the Instagram. Maybe there's a new story about X, Y, or Z. And it's like, nope, just sit there. Yeah. And it's hard. It was hard.
And put a bow around it. I think a lot of us get a lot of great ideas in the shower or bath, and that can do with the warm and cold water. We know that, but it also has to do with the fact that typically you're not scrolling through your phone in the shower, right? So anyway, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you got to have that time where you unplug. Even in the gym now, when I'm walking around, after I read this story, I take my headphones. I'll have my headphones on. Maybe if I'm on the treadmill, I pull them out because my son works. He probably works out with me now 5 times a week, and I want to be an example to him. And so he watched me the other day go up and meet a gentleman by the name of Scott, and Scott is 70. Scott was a commercial fisherman. He recognized me for the Ron and Don show. He just recognized my voice. We ended up having a great 15-minute conversation about what it's like to be a dad and for him to be a grandfather, what it was like to be a commercial fisherman, and then he became a tugboat captain. We had this really rich conversation that we wouldn't have had if he and I had our earplugs in like everyone else. And if you want to have a conversation with someone in the gym, like I met another gentleman the other day, his name is Justin. To speak with Justin, he has to pull his headphones out. Almost everybody has to. So it can be really intimidating to start to talk to somebody and try to build that social connection when you're on the plane or you're in the gym or sometimes even in the grocery store, because everybody is plugged in. So the importance of unplugging. And don't forget, our kids and our grandkids are watching. We will see you on the other side.
Hey, it's Ron and Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him better as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, you have a really cool new product for investors. I think it's kind of the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so we have a great new investor cash flow program. And what this is we take the house you are buying and we inspect it, not you, the borrower. And so what we do is we look at the house and we say, will it cash flow? If you put 20% down, will it make more money than it's going to cost you to keep paying off your mortgage? And if it does, it's yours. It doesn't matter what you make on your own. It doesn't matter all these other things that we usually have to document. They don't matter. They're gone. It's just, does this house make sense? And if it does, you can buy it.
All right. So you can go up to 4 doors, up to 4 units on this. And Don and I have never heard of a product like this. It's pretty exciting if you've been wanting to get into the investment game. So go to Mitch.Loans right now. Set up a time to talk to Mitch. See if you qualify for this new program. That's Mitch.Loans.
You guys, welcome back. Get signed up for the newsletter. We send it out once a week. We don't sell your information. Ron and I write something. In fact, this week I wrote about a $3.85 million home that just sold next door to me, a Quidan, and my thoughts on that. And it was a house that sat on the market for 370 days. Yeah, you talk about buy and hold. Anyway, how come that thing just finally sold and everything on my side of the hill is sold. It's hard to find a house for sale right now. We'll talk about the market as the market is taken off. It's on fire. If you see 7 offers here in Seattle, you'll see 17 over on the east side. So that's in the newsletter. It's also in our real estate only show that we do every Friday. So that's coming up. Make sure you check out our Friday show. It's one segment. It's usually about 18 minutes long. And we just share something that we're learning, buying, selling, or investing in real estate. Before we get out of here, Jason Kelsey this past week, you probably saw him retire. It's at age of 36. He played for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the center. And, of course, last year he played in the Super Bowl against his brother. He and his brother now, Ron and I have always known about the Kelsey brothers, but now the world knows about them, really, with the connection his brother dating Taylor Swift. And I think it's really unique that he and his brother Travis is actually dating Taylor Swift for a while before she actually started publicly showing up at games. She's privately showing up at games. Get this. They say the NFL right now is in talks with her to perform at next year's Super Bowl. It'll be interesting. We know that Jason won't be there because he's retiring. His brother, maybe. It's a good shot that he might be back for the Chiefs. They say that if she performs, it's worth $1 billion to the NFL. but you know what they're offering to pay her? It's typically what they offer to pay everyone, nothing. And the reason they offer to pay you nothing, and in fact, the NFL in the past, and I don't know if they'll do this again, they've actually, like, for instance, when Usher performed this year, the next day you see his sales go up 400%. And then you also will always see these artists, Katy Perry, Prince did this back in the day. You announce that you're going on this worldwide tour, and instead of filling up casinos, you're filling up stadiums. Taylor Swift doesn't need the NFL to fill up a stadium. She's already doing that. In fact, if she stayed in a city for 10 nights, she could probably fill a stadium up 10 times. Ron, what is it? What is in it for Taylor Swift? And do you think the NFL will buckle here? Because usually they're the ones with the leverage and they never pay the Super Bowl halftime show. They're going to make a lot of money here and she doesn't need them.
Yeah, to rewind a little bit, if you haven't watched the full Jason Kelce retirement speech, it's 40 minutes long, but it's well worth it. It's one of the best retirement speeches I've ever heard. And he talks about why he didn't wear a suit, why he got his ankles taped, a bunch of different stuff. And he cries 50 times in this speech.
It's very genuine.
In a genuine way. So that's really worth the watch. Even if you're not a huge football fan, just to watch someone who seems to be very present and recognize what's happening in their lives. The Taylor thing would be a no-brainer. Like, they estimated that just her being a fan at the games, including the Super Bowl, where they kept going away and doing cutaways of the luxury box, brought in enough eyeballs that it made the NFL hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions of dollars in ratings. Just from the Taylor Swift effect, where they would cut away to the luxury box. She's very, very savvy. I wouldn't be surprised if she negotiates a unicorn deal, because she is a unicorn. And what I mean by that is that she doesn't care what I don't believe that she cares what other people have done or what other deals were, because she's very confident in who she is. And look no further than the way she did the Taylor's version of her old records, revolutionizing how that's done. She had a back catalog of info of albums. Someone that she knew bought the back catalog and didn't give her a chance to buy it. And so what she did, because they wanted to capitalize on Taylor's music in the same way that Rod Stewart sold his catalog or Bob Dylan has sold his catalog. So she went out, she was angry. She went out and re-recorded every single one of those albums and called it the same name of the album, Taylor's version, and basically told her fans, do not listen to the original version, listen to Taylor version, because I own this. And so she absolutely cut that guy off at the knees that tried to do an end around on her and get her catalog without giving her. She was going to buy it herself, and they boxed her out. And so she's like, fine, went to the same studios, used the same musicians, same microphones, everything, and just re-recorded the album song by song by song. And so I think when it comes to the NFL, she's going to go, what do I care what you did with Katy Perry? Katy Perry didn't just gross billions of dollars on the Eras tour and hundreds of millions of dollars on a movie.
You didn't answer the question, though. Is she going
to... I think she's going to get her own deal. I think the NFL should pay her. I think they're going to... I think she's going to negotiate from a position of power and just say, what's it worth it to you? I'm not doing it for free. I've already given you guys $400 million from last year because you're cutting away to me every 5 seconds when I chug a beer. So she didn't have any control over that. She's now going to have control over this. I think she's going to get paid.
Yeah. And Jason Kelce, we'll end it here. The reason he got his ankle taped, there was a gentleman that taped his ankles and hands for him. If you've never played football before, as you get older, you get a lot of your joints taped, and especially before you put your cleats on. And you'll see some athletes sometimes get their cleats taped to their ankles, because when you roll an ankle or you have someone step on your ankle and you think about these 310-pound men that are all stepping on each other, it really not only hurts, but if you get a high ankle sprain, you might as well have broken your ankle, and then you're out for weeks. It hurts for months. And sometimes it ends up creating pain for the rest of your life. So you get your ankles taped. You get those joints taped. So this was a gentleman that had taped his ankles for the 13 years that he worked in Philadelphia, which is really incredible, being a center in Philadelphia. because those fans can be hard. People get shipped in and shipped out all the time. And the gentleman who typically did that had cancer and wasn't able to do that for him in his last game. And so before he gave his press conference, he went to this gentleman and he said, "Hey, man, will you take me up again one last time?" And he did that for his press conference, which I think is really great. He made $80 million in the NFL. Their podcast will probably make $80 million this year and hundreds of millions of dollars. And those guys are really good podcasters. They are great broadcasters. When Travis was on Saturday Night Live, I've never seen a better athlete on Saturday Night Live. So it was really... I'm really thrilled to see those guys do well. Sometimes when you get overexposed, you can't handle it. And I think they're doing a beautiful job with it. In fact, when this gentleman had cancer, he said that Jason, and still does, Jason would call him every day. He put him up at his lake house, took care of him, said anything you need, and provided those things that this gentleman needed. So that's a really cool story about him. Hey, you guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. The springboard has sprung in Seattle. Don't forget, we sell the sounds. So we're working on homes all over Seattle. So if you need us, we are here. And don't forget, we understand sometimes homes are a heavy lift, especially if you're in a situation where a parent has passed or you have an estate sale. There's a lot going on, reverse mortgages. There's a lot to clean up, take care of. We're here to help with that. So just reach out to us, ronandonsitdown.com, and we can sit down today. You'll find out more about us, the podcast. Get signed up for the newsletter. And thanks for hitting like and subscribe and even writing a review about our podcast. It gets our podcast out in the algorithm so more people get to hear. And even when I ran to Scott the other day in the gym, he's like, "Man, I'd love to hear you guys." And I'm like, "Do you have a podcast player?" He's like, "I'm 70. I don't even know what that is." So I helped him pull out his phone. We found a podcast player. And then I'm like, "Hey, man, there's 700 episodes of the Ron and Don Show. So next time you're out on your tugboat, you can give a listen." All right. Hey, my son's going to come by and lock us out for Ron, myself. Charlie the dog is here looking as her. You keep your head up and your shoulders back. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.